again, the idea with my first presentation and with this one, too, is to give you guys an idea of the mechanisms involved and the way the networks work, especially IP networks. You can go to a book like the one I talked about, TCP/IP Illustrated, Volume 1 by Stevens. Applause. Yes, thank you. This is, again, the Bible. I can't reiterate it enough. It's the best $65.95 US you will probably spend when it comes to networking. I got it cheaper. I think I got it for $52. I can't remember where I got it. It was online. I'm not afraid to buy online. Volume 2. I'm trying to think. This presentation might deal with Volume 2 a little more. Basically, Volume, that's, it's a really easy to read book. It's, I wouldn't say it's put in layman's terms, networking by any means. It's not a dummy's book, but it gives a very accurate layout of how things work, and it's very easy to read. It's a pretty quick read, too. First part of it's pretty much the mechanics. Second part's like how Telnet works, how FTP works, blah, 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 blah. This one has to do with more of the API and actually messing around with the sockets and messing around with the headers of IP packets and putting the stuff in there that you want to put in there instead of what the kernel in the network wants you to put in there. This is a little slower read. It's C. So depending on your learning curve for C, I recommend it still, though. There we go. This one will hopefully be a little shorter than the last presentation. We'll see what happens. Brief refresher. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen you guys, all 5 minutes, so I'll bring you back up to speed on IP. Know your enemy. What are you looking at, or what are you going after? What's the network look like? Attacking, how you should attack it. For the network, or network admins, detection and protection. Again, the OSI model, the model. Know how this works. You can go to a book, like TCP/IP Illustrated Volume 1, and figure out, you know, the semantics, the details of how each layer works. But know how they interact with each other, know their roles. It's not a wrestling reference. When you hear of attacks taking place, vulnerabilities, exploits, that kind of stuff, yeah, you get application stuff. Sometimes I guess I'd like to think of Windows as an application and not an actual operating system. So, but like when things like Netscape crash or, you know, that's all application stuff. But they get bad data and they don't know how to handle stuff they receive from transport layer or the network or data link or whatever. It's not necessarily an implementation problem down here, although there's other times when it is. Teardrops, nukes, SYN floods, etc., etc. Data link, that's where all the ARP stuff goes on. Very trusting, very nice, very exploitable. Network layer, IP. Again, a little more difficult, but, I mean, it still can be done. If you have a knowledge of C and you have the API in front of you, I don't expect anybody to memorize the API for all the BSD socket calls unless they work with it every day. So, transport TCP UDP. Question. WTF is an IP header. Answer. These guys, they look familiar. They were copied verbatim from the last slides. Again, just the layout. It's kind of convoluted because version 6 is actually bigger than version 4. Again, question, WTF is a TCP and UDP header. There they are. Again, those are the things you would mess with if you're going to wreak some havoc on the network, if you're not going to use ARP or anything like that. What does your target look like? IP enumerate. IP enumeration is basically scanning a network, going IP. IP by IP, pinging it, ICMPing it, however you want, see if it's up, see if it responds to you. If it responds, it's great, you know it's there. If it doesn't, it doesn't necessarily mean it's not there. It could be being filtered at a firewall. The mechanism you're using to detect it could be filtered at a router, et cetera. Once you do locate a host, the next thing you want to do, again, because a socket's defined by that unique IP port pairing, you want to see what kind of ports you can pair that IP, that newly found IP you found up with. Explanatory. You have the taste for blood. What's your goal? Do you want to cause havoc on the network? Do you want to disrupt the network? Go after routers, switches, hubs, proxies, gateways, bridges. Routers, again, routers are important to go after. Client-server type stuff. Do you want to actually disrupt the nodes? Do you want access to the data? I mean, it depends on what kind of mindset you're in, what kind of, what your goal is. Different methods, again, of going around or leveraging either situation. Some stuff from last year. Definitions. Naughtiness. I call it naughtiness because it's not stuff you should be doing, and I don't sanction any of it except for educational use only. Archaic, vicious, immoral character, guilty of disobedience, misbehavior, computer CLSO script kiddie, and vendor tier one support. Lacking in taste for propriety with a computer. See also below. Denial of service, a denial of service to a device, usually associated with network stuff. Spoofing. Again, you have that API in front of you. Actually, I think it might be time to go into the actual code. Altering the source IP header information. Let me try to pull up some. Oh, ipspoof.c, convenient. This is a nice little piece of code. I can't remember if I got off of Root Shell or not. Root Shell is a great place for archive crap, though. Go through, I mean, you can enumerate through it and look at what exactly everything does. The only thing that's a little obfuscated is the IP checksum, the way they calculate it. There's some assembly crap in there. Where's the important stuff? Yes. Create IP. What happens is those fields I was talking about earlier in the diagrams I had, all those little blocks with colors and stuff, are represented here in an IP. Well, they call it an IP header. It's an IP header structure, IPHDR. Propagate it with whatever you want. I mean, if you trace it down, the stuff comes in from the command line. What do you want your packet to look like? Where do you want it from? It comes into the function here, your protocol. The data you have, I mean, that's making your IP header to look the way you want it to. Grab volume 2 here, and within 2 hours you'll be doing this, if that. If you have basic knowledge, you'll see that is. Let's see. They're messing with type of service, turning fragmentation bit off. Not sure what that is. Source address, destination, protocol, time to live, the ID, H2S. That's host to network short. Byte ordering on is different. The way the bytes and bits are stored in the computer's memory tends to differ than the network byte ordering between big endian and little endian. Like between an i386 chip and a like an Ultra Spark, I can't remember. I think Ultra Sparks are big endian, but I'm not sure. And the i386 is the other way around. The Sparks actually, if you're on a platform where you actually store them correctly, then this does nothing. But if you're not, it does a conversion. Total length, again, there's that nasty H2S. There's also a host to network long. Probably most common ones you'll use. Look at this. Messing with the next layer up. Create TCP. TCP header, source port, destination port, sequence number. If you're going to probe for sequence, you know, do sequence number manipulation with routers, especially in Windows 90 Xboxes. Mess with that one. The acknowledgement number, which is, again, the sequence number plus one of the initial conversator. Flags. I mean, this is it. You see these lines of code. This is, I mean, the checksum functions take up most of the code, most of the program. I mean, take a look here. These are all generic. You can compile it on a BSD box, Linux box, all built-in stuff. And it's not that complicated. I mean, this is what you have, or what is sitting in between, Joe Programmer and wreaking havoc. And it's kind of, the issues of trust have problems. Of course, there's like applications that will do validation to see, okay, is this information I'm getting coming from an IP I want it to be coming from, or blah, blah, blah. But once you figure that out, whether through social engineering, I saw some demonstrations of that last night. Once you have that information, you can put it in your packet and, you know, the other end's totally oblivious to it. Okay. Synattack. Make multiple TCP connections to a host. Don't acknowledge any of the connections. Basically, you start the handshake for TCP connection, and you don't finish any of them. And you run through all the ports, 65,000 plus ports on your target. What does that do? When you make a connection, a TCP connection, if you do like a netstat, use a netstat command to see what the active network connections you have on your box, they'll sit in a waiting state. And it's vendor-specific how long a socket will sit open or waiting, usually 30 to 45 seconds. And that should be more than enough time for you to hit, you know, 65,000-plus ports. And if they're all sitting in there open like that, it's a denial of service. Denial of service because nobody can get an open port to connect to. Denial of service because the CPU load goes through the roof. Nasty. Can you solve this problem? If you use your service through InetD, like an internet daemon, it will detect, there's code baked into the new versions of InetD, that somebody's tried to make a connection or too many connections too quickly, and will actually suspend their ability to make connections for, usually it's like a minute. So that's pretty useless, but I mean, it's good to know about. Smurf attack, denial of service, IP broadcast-based attack. Send a packet from one machine that may reply, or that many reply to. Spoof source address to be that of the victim. Packet storm hurts victim, obviously. Basically, you find your victim, you find their IP, you put it in the IP header via the APIs, send it out to broadcast, and all these hosts that get that reply to that one host. That can be very bad. Solutions, deny incoming ICMP messages. This is for network admins. It's not realistic because ICMP is used to debug networks. You don't really want to, you know, cut your legs off. Deny outgoing ICMP messages. Again, if you do that, you lose trace route, you lose ping, unless you're using like a TCP ping. Most implementations of ping are ICMP echo. Deny outgoing ICMP spoof broadcasts. That's very good. If you have a firewall set up, or if routers, you know, you have rules set up on your router. And there's an IP, a source IP, coming through your router that is not on your network, don't let it out. I mean, it's common sense. Unfortunately, a lot of network admins don't put that rule in if you have a rule-based firewall, and that causes problems. Distributed denial of service. I'm just going to touch on this because of all the crap that's been going on past, you know, 7 months. Basically, instead of broadcasting like with a Smurf, you take control of the box, you put a daemon on it or whatever, and you control that daemon, you tell them to, okay, even if it's just a ping, if you have control of 10,000 nodes that are on the internet, and you tell them all to ping this one node just with one packet, they're all going to get there at different times, but still, that's huge denial of service. Ways to get around that, just tighten your boxes down. Don't open up things on public, you know, internet-connected boxes that you don't need. RPC, remote procedure call, should stay away from that. NIS, although I've been guilty of that. I have a NIS master at home that's connected than that before North Point screwed me. NFS, bad. A lot of this RPC stuff, too. Remote procedure call, for those who aren't familiar with it, it's a way of calling a function on another machine across the network, have it do something, have it perform like a library function, for example. There's trust issues there, too. I mean, there's authentication's not there. It really isn't. So turn that stuff off if you don't need it. OpenBSD, secure by default, pretty much. So all that crap, you get it, it's turned off. Telnet FTP turned off. If you can't tell, I like OpenBSD. ARP cache poisoning, altering a host's ARP cache by broadcasting spoofed over information over the network. Talked about that earlier. Basically, if you want to modify an ARP packet, broadcast over the network, that would involve modifying, you know, the NIC driver, hacking that up a little bit. But again, once it's out there, once it leaves the fiber out outside of the back of your box, it's out there and everybody's going to trust it. There's problems there, huge problems. ICMP redirects, ICMP types 5. Most OSs now have this turned off. Basically, it says update your routing tables, your IP routing tables, not the MAC IP pairings. Creates a temporary entry, but I mean, temporary is all anyone needs to wreak havoc. Teardrop. Another attack exploits a problem with many IP level reassembly algorithms, especially Windows 95 and 98, early versions 98. Malformed header says a fragmented packet length is too small. Kernel will try to copy too much data, consume system resources, may grind to a halt. It tries to, basically you get like a data overlap because you tell it, you give it the bad fragmented length, and it tries to match the ends of the packet up, and it can't. And it just, it was narrowed down, there's a loop, and it runs into problems. It says source code here, so let's see if I have it. I do. Again, basic BSD includes, I don't know why they put strange BSD byte ordering thing. Let's see what we can see here. Send frags. IP frag flags and offset. Looks like this is right where they're putting in the spoofed offset. Again, this is not a long program. As you can see to right, comments are taking up a chunk of it. Grab volume 2 and go to work. I mean, this is the one exploit that's out there that's been found and it's been patched and my system's hanging because I lost network connectivity. the ads, it'll come back. Let's keep going. Out-of-band data. Out-of-band data can be applied to, it's nuking, basically is what it is. It can be applied, it's usually applied to TCP, but it's a general term that can be used with other protocols. Used to provide control connection for appropriate protocols, TCP. It's actually done, the next bullet it says logically independent transmission channel. It's the same pair of sockets, but the way the kernel sees it and the IP stack sees it, it's a different set. Basically, you set that urgent flag, and it becomes an out-of-band packet. And what that means is that there's either very important information in here, like control information, state information, you know, stuff like that, and process that before processing stuff you may have already received. Known as nuking, everybody, I'm sure, is familiar with the port 139 thing, NetBIOS problems that Windows had a while ago. Set the urgent bit, don't provide the urgent pointer, and that'll do it. Sniffing. I was going to show you guys something, but my LAN connection seems to have died. Watching packets on a network. Let's see, I don't think I have any sample logs. Let's go back. Real quick. Tools. EtherReal was actually, if you guys were in here, right when I was preparing for this second presentation, I brought it up real quick, push the X display back. What EtherReal does is it shows you what's going on. Again, everybody sees everything on the Ethernet. Doesn't matter if you're server, client, whatever. Unless it's switched, but that's another thing. It shows, you know, what's going across, the packets. It breaks them down really nicely into what kind of packet it is, the payload. If you're using FTP or Telnet, any of those plain text protocols, passwords, usernames, passed in plain text, you open up EtherReal, sniff the network, boom, right in that little window at the bottom, you have your, it's like a hex dump, you have your hex crap, and then you have the ASCII crap in the little column next to it, and you can ferret out the right there in plain text, user ID and password. I feel very sorry for anyone who used that this weekend. Very, extremely sorry. SSH is good. TCP dump, basically the same thing, only command line. Snoop, again, command line. Basically the same thing. OpenBSD plug. OpenBSD does come with TCP dump. BGP, Border Gateway Protocol, current version is 4. This is how those exterior routers talk to each other. They do it via BGP. Asses, autonomous systems. Three different types. Stub, single connection to one AS. A multi-home connected to more than one AS, and a transit connected to more than one AS and carries both local and transit traffic. I keep hitting the wrong button. Little star down there. BGP uses TCP, too. It's reliable. Data needs to get there. Some entities, proxy, device used to translate network address information. Proxies don't tend to be transparent a lot of the time. Network admins like things to be transparent to the end user in most situations. Proxies don't tend to be that way. Firewalls definitely don't tend to be that way. You can use it to restrict the flow of the network traffic. 4 different types. Packet filtering firewall basically looks at all the packets and decides based on rules whether a packet should flow or not. Circuit level gateway, basically the same thing, different name for same beast. Application level, it interfaces more with the apps. I hate to be so short on the answers, but basically it's common sense. That's what they do. State-aware inspection firewalls, those are the real good ones. IPF, which I'll go into a little bit, is a state-aware firewall. And basically the difference is that there's a table where the state of all the connections or whatever specified connections you have is kept. So it knows where you are in a conversation like a TCP, like Handshake or whatever. It knows where you are. So it can help prevent man-in-the-middle attacks. IP filter, referred to as IPF. OpenBSD has it compiled into the generic kernel. It's portable. It's state and rule-based. State's a good thing. Excuse me. IPFW, I'm not a Linux guy at all. But that's the, I think that was included with older versions of Linux. The man tells me my network's back up. We'll see. It is. Goody. IP chains is the new version that I know is included with Linux. They stole a lot of the BSD code, like for the IP stack in the new versions of Linux. IP chains, there was a discussion on Friday about it. Nobody knew if it was state-based or not, but it is rule-based, and it's a lot better than it was. IP filter, good. Generic rule set. This is an example, for instance, etc IPF.rules. Pass in from any to any, what that's pass out from any to any. That basically says, okay, I'm not even here. Pass in from any interface to any. Pass out from any interface to any. This is a little more slightly esoteric, I guess, rule set. Block in quick on interface RL0 from this, the bit postfix, to any. So you're blocking, if you're connected to the internet and let's say you're doing routing, let's say it's a PC or something doing routing, you should never see any of these guys come in over that external interface. Never. These are all reserved for internal networks only. If you do, somebody's spoofing, somebody's trying to mess with you, log it. Seek revenge later. 2 clicks. Block in quick. What that does is the way IPF works, it keeps going through all the rules. Unless you tell it use a quick keyword, there's lots of keywords. I don't even know them all. Unless you tell it to bomb out of its rule checking, it'll keep going until it matches the last rule, until it hits the end of the list. Quick tells it to get out of that rule check and just move on. IPNAT, OpenBSD also includes NAT. IPF, I think, or IPNAT, I'm sorry, is bundled, I believe, with IPF, actually. It maps network addresses from one range to another. There's an example entry from, because IPNAT.rules. And as you can see, it's basically a proxy. You have your firewall functionality built into IPFilter. You have your network address translation functionality with IPNAT, and they're bundled. And, I mean, you have a complete solution here for everything you need. It's so it's dynamic. It's flexible. Go out and buy 10. What the statement is saying is map everything that comes in from interface RL0 with that kind of address to interface FXP0. 32 just means everything. 32 bits, 32-bit IPs. If you break it down to binary, well, it's going to be ones. Port map, TCP and UDP protocols in the range of 10,000 to 20,000. Those are the port number. That's the range. Again, I didn't even list all the rules, the keywords you can have. There's bimap, so you can go backwards, and there's just tons of crap you can do. Okay, now I can do some, well, this is the end of the slides. I'll go over some examples real quick. References, razor.bindview.com. They've got some good source code to look at. IP enumerate, they wrote that. It's pretty good. IPfilter.org, it actually bounces, I think, to an EDU site, some guy's home directory. Check it out. It is extremely easy to implement. If you have OpenBSD, take 5 minutes to install OpenBSD. You go into etcrc.conf, change IPfilter to yes, IPNAT to yes, and that's it. You reboot. It's there. It's in the kernel. We'll start sourcing those rules. Hopefully, I remember to turn them on my box so I can show you. Snort, I'll show you. It's an IDS. I didn't have a slide for IDS. I apologize. What an IDS is an intrusion detection system, and there's a couple different varieties. There's some that look at log files that are generated to, you know, ferret out suspicious activity. And Snort actually watches the IP stack and watches everything flow across the cable. Etherreel is a nice graphical sniffer, very nice. Very easy to see, as you'll see shortly. Securityfocus.com, too. I can't say enough good things about those guys. Security advisories, news, tech happenings. Mostly security advisories. They own BugTrack. They acquired it a year and a half ago. Check them out, definitely. Lots of tools. Okay, that's it. Oh, I don't know how that got in there. Yes, I mean, it's easy to install and it's free. What more can you ask for? Okay, let's get rid of this crap. Let's do this again. Let's make sure I can ping it first. Oop, that's not a command. You laugh, but I'm tired. Okay, I can't ping it. They unplugged me again. Unless I... 254.59. Not to say anything bad, but the problem at the beginning of my first presentation was nobody plugged the cable into the back of my PC. The initial problem was the network disintegrated so badly that I'm on one side of the room and there's nothing connecting me with the other side of the room. Somebody stole my hub, by the way, so if you have it, I'll get you. What can I go over while I'm here? Superscan, port scanner, net scanner. Okay, let's use an internal address. Hopefully I'll have network connectivity here in a second. .0 2 9216825 5 0 254.255. There's me. Let's see what else comes up. The gateway. I bet you they just plugged me in. I should see 5'9 at least. Or not. I know I still have the lease for that IP. Hmm? It didn't crash, it was just not plugged in. Well, my sniffers are in there, see if they get it up. If not, why is this not doing anything? Port scanner. Tell what ports you want to scan. Again, remember the port range is 0 through 1024 is restrict on Unix box, it's restricted. I've been told it's okay. Okay. It's port scanning me. And I don't see the other box, but I am. Again, this one's kind of nice. Superscan 2.01. List of ports that are open. You know, what's going on. Let's say you wanted to... I have no idea why you want to do this. Telnet. Sleep deprivation is taking over. Oh, it kicked me right out. It looks like it's daytime. Yep. It's a daytime port. You connect to it. You initiate TCP connection. It tells you the time of the box. Again, you want to find out what these things do. Go to, like, rfceditor.org. Let's go to 9, character generator. Microsoft Telnet is puking right now. Actually, if you'd see it work, there's just a bunch of characters. Other than that, I'd kind of like to show you real quick if I can. I can't ping it. Technical difficulties. No comment. Generator gone. But basically, you would have a window come up, and you just tell it to capture the packets, and oodles and oodles of information. I had Snort running on the network last night, and I had it running in background mode, and what it does is you give it a logging directory. It'll generate subdirectories off that initial directory for every IP that it sniffs something from, and in there it's broken up even more. And if you go in there... you just see what's going on. People are spoofing all over the place. There's some DHCP things going on. Other than that, check out Ethereal. There's Windows-based sniffers, too. You need to install packet drivers for them to work, but I don't have any of those right now. If you have any questions, let me know. It depends on how badly the stack is coded. If it's really, really slipshod, then yeah. If you know what the stack's going to take in and what it's going to do with the data, it's going to try to, loop through the data and overlap and reassemble it. If there is a buffer overflow problem in there and it bombs out and your code goes somewhere on the heap and gets executed with root or admin privilege, that's an implementation problem hugely on the vendor's part. But there's no generic... The answer generically is no. It depends if sloppy programming. That's where all the caveats are. In anything, it's sloppy programming. Any other questions? No? Okay, thanks.